Welcome. It is April 19th, and this is a special edition of Teal Tinted Glasses Reborn, coming to you live on the Teal Town USA YouTube channel. You can also check us out streaming everywhere that Ian can possibly get our podcasts up. So that way tomorrow, when you want to really ponder what we say about Mark Jankowski and David Riddich, you can play it once again in the comfort of your own ears and listen to what we're doing. Us joining us, as always, everyone's Canadian favorite angry Canadian robot, fresh out of his reprogramming session in Yellowknife, Ian Reid.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Glad that you could join us tonight. I know there's playoff hockey happening, and I know we're competing for eyeballs, but it's good to have you guys watching, and hopefully we do this Barracuda thing justice.
And also joining us after Jerk Store Hours, which closed today at 5:30, so hopefully you got your fill, is Hockey Jerk.
Hey now, you're listening to episode 20. Oh wait, never mind, wrong show. Hello all, it's nice to be back on the reborn Teal Tinted Glasses. I hope that you don't regret your decision to bring me on.
Me too.
And joining us in progress will be the great Kevin Lacey, number turtleneck in your programs, but number one in your hearts. He'll be here as soon as he can.
He's doing adult things. Use your imagination.
I hate it when I have to adult. I'm not very good at it either.
No, me neither. I don't like this whole adulting thing. All right, so let's get going. Obviously, Friday night starts the series between the Barracuda and the Stockton Heat. And obviously we're going to be, at least some combination of us will try and come on after that game is done and let you know how it's all going. But tonight I thought we would sit down. Actually, this was Zach's idea, so credit to Zach. We would sit down and we would actually just discuss, you know, what is going on with Barracuda, how they match up against the Heat, and, you know, kind of just try and break things down and go from there. So, all right. Sorry. My phone's being all jerkish at me.
Anyway, I see what you did there.
Yeah, it's jerk. It's totally jerk's fault. So I guess the best place to probably start would be just kind of give you guys a quick tale of the tape. So the San Jose Barracuda obviously finished first in their division, and they finished second in the entire Ontario Hockey League, American Hockey League, with a 43-16-9 record, which is good for a .699 save points percentage. Oh my goodness, I'm on crack today.
And that's your friend.
Yes, yes. The Stockton Heat finished fourth in the Pacific Division with a 34-25-9 record with a .566 points percentage. That is good for 14th in the AHL. Just some quick stats here. Goals for the Barracuda were 232 in total for the regular season to Stockton Heat's 212. So again, advantage Barracuda. Goals against 176 to 192. Again, advantage Barracuda. The power play, San Jose's power play was one of the best in the league, 23.8% proficiency for the regular season. The Stockton Heat only clicking at a 16.5%. Again, advantage Barracuda. Penalty kill, 83.7% to an 82.3%. So very close on the penalty kill, but slight edge to the Barracuda there. Head-to-head, the San Jose Barracuda were 7-5, did a 7-5 record against the Barracuda, which because of they're winning in overtime, the Barracuda's the head-to-head for the Stockton was instead of being 5-7, it was 5-5-2 because of the two overtime losses. For those who care about the advanced stats, and these are courtesy of prospectstats.com, the Fenwick close percentage for the Barracuda was 54.85, which is good for first in the AHL, to the Stockton Heat's 49.24 for 18th. And then the one place where Stockton actually has the edge is in PDO. The estimated PDO for the Barracuda was 101.1 to 101.3 for the Stockton Heat. Anyone want to explain the advanced stats for the people that may be on the because I always screw this up. For the uninitiated.
PDO is pretty much kind of your puck luck, for lack of a better term. That's
right.
To gauge just how lucky a player or a team is at. And so both these teams are playing a little bit ahead of where they're at. But the flip side of that is you also have to look at how they're playing. The Barracuda have, you know, created a lot of chances, have a lot of offensive firepower. And the Stockton Heat have been playing really playoff hockey for the last month. They were chasing down the Bakersfield Condors and successfully did so. So that's kudos to them. And Coach Huska has that team, you know, playing with that edge. And that's going to be something that the Barracuda are going to have to deal with, a team that's realistically been in playoff mode since March.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Jerk, what do you think about this matchup? Just some quick thoughts on the matchup itself, based on some of the numbers that we stood there. Like, what do you think that the numbers are deceiving at all, or how do you like the Barracuda in this series?
You know what? I just looking at the tail of the tape, if you want to call it that. Yes, the Barracuda have the advantage in a lot of categories, but you know what? I look at goals for, I look at penalty kill. Mm-hmm. It's a relatively close margin. I would say the one thing that stands out to me is how many goals the Stockton Heat are letting in. You know, the key for them in this series is going to be obviously not letting in goals, because it, just looking at the stats alone, it appears that they don't have any issue scoring goals. So I think stopping goals is going to be the key for them.
Yeah, I think the other thing that, and we'll probably get into some more detail later. I think when I look at the penalty kill would be, or the power play would be a concern, for the Stockton Heat. Obviously, it wasn't very good, but even the penalty kill, because the thing that I noticed when I was looking through, you know, the things is, if you look at like the top four scorers on each team, and the, you know, the Barracuda's top four are a lot easier to put into the penalty box. You know, they're a lot easier to go into penalties. And I think that's, you know, that could be a big issue for the Heat through the series. But I mean, the thing that stood out to me the most, I think, was, I mean, I kind of had a feeling that it was pretty even without actually looking up the numbers, but you know, 7-5 isn't exactly a monster advantage. Like, there's been times where the Heat have absolutely handed the Barracuda the rear ends on a plate, like just handed it to them. So, you know, as much as everything looks positive Barracuda, this is a team that the Barracuda have had a ton of trouble with so far this year.
And
yeah,
go ahead, Zach, and then we'll go back to you, Jer.
Just real quick, just to echo on that point, you know, the record is relatively close depending on which side of 205 you're on. You're a fan of a team that's either 5-5-2 heads up, or 7-5. So that's not a huge discrepancy. Also, goals for in this series, San Jose has scored 37 goals in the 12 mm-hmm. games these two teams have played. Stockton's played scored 35. So both teams have had a couple lopsided wins, but it's a lot closer than a lot of these numbers and their records would make it appear.
Yeah. I think that's like the one thing that I took away. I mean, it looks overwhelmingly positive for the Barracuda. And don't get me wrong, I think the Barracuda should win this series. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. I'm certainly not calling it in three. For those that are uninitiated, the first round of the AHL playoffs are, of course, a best of five, not a best of seven. So I'm obviously not expecting, you know, I'm not expecting a three game blowout. This could easily go. You know, this could easily go the distance, or, you know, maybe it goes four. I'm not 100% sure. We can get to that later. I think,
what was Jerk going to jump in there and say?
Oh yeah. Sorry, Jerk. I completely.
Oh, no, it's okay. I just wanted to point out as well, Zach talked about how close these teams are, and you look at the standings and you see, oh, you know, Stockton kind of had to fight their way just to clinch a spot while the Barracuda virtually was handed a spot. But when you think about it, the Barracuda did a lot of their winning in a short amount of time.
Right.
Stockton Heat have been playing at a pretty high level, you know, the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season. And I mean, I don't want to say that the Barracuda are, you know, in like higher in the standings than they should be. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is I think that take the whole best team in the West thing with a grain of salt and kind of think that, you know, certain things go different ways and it could easily be the Barracuda who are on the losing end of the series. But at the same time, I do echo your sentiment. I do think the Barracuda wrap up this series just because they have been playing well all year. And even when they're not playing well, they somehow find a way to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they went on that huge winning streak, right? I mean, that they put a lot of points away there. And even after the big winning streak, they were still good enough. I mean, they were still winning more of their games than not. But I mean, yeah, that winning streak obviously let them put a lot of points in the bank.
Right. The flip side of that also is you look at where Stockton is at.
Yeah.
You know, and luckily I think for the Barracuda, and I spoke with a couple members of the team today at practice, John McCarthy said that, you know, he feels that this team is going to be able to put kind of that rough patch going into the last week of the season behind them. And I think this is where a 6-day layoff, getting in some hard practices. Coach Sommer pointed out that they've had two really good practices that he's been pleased with. So that's going to help, I think, this team hit the reset button a little bit. You know, if they had to just fire it up right after kind of backing into the playoffs, that might just mentally be a bit of a hurdle. But the that layoff is something that I think the Barracuda could use to their advantage, get back to kind of their brand of hockey, sort out a couple things, and kind of get ready for the postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing too with just kind of going through some questions in the chat here. Does home ice advantage matter in the AHL? I think it's going to matter. I think that, you know, I think especially depending on what happens next with the Sharks. I mean, obviously they're tied up 2-2, so their series still has some distance to go. But, you know, look at those tickets for Friday night's game, what are they, $10? And then, like, huge, good deal, right? I mean, that should hopefully, I would hope, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to, but you would like to think that would get more people in the door at SAP Center to check this out.
And it's also $2 beer night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like $2 beer, $1 hot dog. I mean, how can you go wrong with this? If you're not going to this game, what is wrong with you? You know, like this is. I'm hoping that they're going to get people in the door to check this out, and I'm hoping that people will, you know, look at the prices and say, yeah, this is, you know, this is worth it because I can't, you know, maybe I can't afford to get Sharks playoff tickets, but this is, you know, this is a good team, and this is a team that I'm a lot more positive about, was a lot more positive about going in the playoffs than I was the parent club. So I'm really hoping people check this out and, you know, give them a chance and we can get some more people in the bar and get it loud. And then, yeah, I think home ice advantage definitely helps. You know, Stockton's a team that generally draws well though. So, you know, they're probably going to get, you know, that boost from the fans for as much as, you know, if it depends on how much you take from home ice advantage and atmosphere and everything else. But I think that, you know, it would be nice to get some people in SAP Center to cheer on the team because Stockton's going to fill their barn.
Yeah, that home ice, I think, is going to make a bit of a difference in this this series. And as Ian pointed out, the Stockton Heat, I mean, that's a fun barn. I've been lucky enough to be there a number of times. It gets full, it gets loud. They've also had some strong contingents come to SAP Center. So yep. Depending on how into it the Barracuda crowd is, the Stockton Heat can make some noise for their boys, and it'll be something to watch. I think that the Barracuda with the, you know, I wouldn't say struggles at the gate. There's a lot of entertainment options here in the Bay Area.
Absolutely.
But they have not drawn as well as some of the other teams in the Pacific Division. So I'm not sure that home ice, outside of kind of being comfortable where you're playing, knowing the boards, I don't think it's going to be quite the advantage that we see at the NHL level, but it's certainly at least even, as opposed to going into an enemy barn.
What do you think about the you've been in SAP Center a few times, Jerk? What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? Zach brings up a really good point too. I think the home ice advantage, I think it is going to be a difference, just because I mean, I don't have the information on front of me, but just from my own recollection, it seems like in the season series between Barracuda and Stockton, the home team won a majority of the time. So right. there's obviously that, which you factor into it. And then to just, you know, kind of tag on to what Zach said too, I've been to a handful of games against the Stockton Heat in the last, you know, 2 years. And granted, geographically being close obviously helps, but Stockton is the team that I always see draw, I guess, their own fans into the opposing team's barn. Like, it's always Stockton fans who I see the most of. And I think that the Heat, you know, I think they build off of that. I think they, you know, definitely, it's a total cliche and I hate to use it, but I think they really do build off of the energy that their fans create, whether it's at home or it's on the road. So I definitely think home ice will be a difference in the series.
Cool. So do we want to just start breaking down where we feel that these two teams are? Should we start with the forwards?
Sure. Let's do that. I think one of the things that we at least I got excited about today, I think before we really break things down, is Kevin LeBanc being reassigned to the Barracuda after sitting in the press box. Obviously, that's a huge lift for the Barracuda right off the hop. You know, this is a guy, Kevin LeBanc's got to be just starving to play at this point after sitting in the press box as long as he has. And I mean, he's, you know, he's probably, you know, at least I ranked him as our number one prospect in the system right now. And I believe you've done similar, Zach.
Yeah, getting Kevin LeBanc back is going to be, you really can't overstate it. You look at who was up with the Sharks for the first four games of the NHL playoffs and who they've traded. They've really lost their top four wingers.
Yeah.
Sorensen's up with the Sharks, as is Timo Meier. Kevin LeBanc was up. Now he's back. And Nikolai Goldobin was traded away. So wherever you are at those players at the NHL level, at the AHL level, they were top six talent, you know, and end of discussion. That's where they're at. So when you lose that kind of winger depth, I think that, you know, you've got a Danny O'Regan, you've got a Rourke Chartier, but, you know, who's been playing really well with Hlouk and Robinson, but it forces those players to be even better. You know, you lose that depth, your best players have to be better because there's not as much help coming for them. And that's not to, you know, be negative on the Barclay Goodrows. Colby McCauley has looked really interesting. He was skating up with the first line today. So, you know, they've added some pieces, but still, when you can add a Kevin LeBanc to your playoff run, that's got to be huge.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's. I just got that much, you know, you get that much more excited about it. Kevin LeBanc is going to be a huge deal, and hopefully he can not try to do too much and just, you know, let the game come to him. Because I think when he's been down more recently, he hasn't really let the game come to him. He's tried to force the game to him. And as long as he can stay away from that, I feel like he's going to be in good shape. Hockey Jerk, any thoughts on LeBanc coming back down?
You know what? I think you touched on it. I think if he doesn't try to do too much, I think he's going to have some success. And we kind of saw that, you know, in the stretch run to the end of the season where, you know, he kind of wanted to be the guy and he was still feeling some of the NHL, I guess, warm and fuzzies, if you want to call it that. And so he was still trying to do a lot to show, hey, I should be back in the NHL. And it had the reverse effect. But, you know, Zach brings up a really good point, too, because he talks about the guys they've lost, you know, Sorensen, Meier, Goldobin, and LeBanc. And he talked about guys who've had to step up. You know what? I did not expect Buddy Robinson to pot 10 goals with the Barracuda. Nikita Yevpilov has had a bounce back year. Haluka and Barclay Goodrow both had slow starts and then turned it on around the middle of the season. And you know what? Zach and I have had numerous conversations on Twitter and in person. Colin Blackwell, the stats aren't there, but the effort and the compete level are just top of the line for me. So I think, you know, if you want to compare them to the Heat, I think the Barracuda are just, they're more, they have more depth on the forwards. And I think that's, you know, say a Danny O'Regan goes cold or, you know, a Rourke Chartier goes cold, you know, you have other guys who can kind of step in, and even John McCarthy, who's, I guess, the, you know, the old guy on the team at the ripe old age of, what is he, 31? So you just have so much depth. And like I said, I think if one guy cools off, another guy's going to heat up right away.
Yeah. And one thing on Colin Blackwell also is the speed he brings and the tenacity on the penalty kill. Losing Marcus Sorensen, Blackwell's been able to step into, and losing meaning going to the San Jose Sharks.
Right.
You know, Blackwell's really stepped into that role and done a very fine job.
Why don't they just, you know, maybe they could send some more help. You know, I don't think Mikhail Vodker is doing anything.
And then taking a look real quick at the Heat, they've got a number of very solid players themselves. Their leading scorer was Mark Jankowski, who I think definitely was in the running for top rookie along with Danny O'Regan. He was also their leading goal scorer. He had 27 goals, 29 assists for 56 points, playing in 64 games. He completed all 4 years with the Providence Friars. He's really done a nice job of stepping into the pro ranks. I've talked to some scouts who have been kind of mixed bag. They feel like there's games where he's dominant, games where he's floating a bit. I haven't seen that.
Right.
But that's some of, you know, the feedback I'm getting. Two other youngsters that they've got to keep an eye on is Morgan Klimchuk. He was a player that last year, the effort was there, but it just wasn't quite clicking for him. But this is the year that we've started to see the player that we saw in the WHL with the Regina Pats, you know, and then later the Brandon Wheat Kings when he got traded. But, you know, 19 goals, 24 assists. He's been excellent, you know, swift skater. Not the biggest guy, but plays big. He's 22, and so he's got some of that man strength coming in for him. He had an excellent year as their number three scorer. And then Lyndon Vay, who's arguably, you know, somebody that could be headed back to the NHL with expansion coming up and jobs opening up. He was second on the team with 15 goals and 40 helpers. So that's, you know, a veteran presence that has NHL experience that the Barracuda are going to have to counter.
Yeah, and then another guy that, I mean, I'm, you know, I got really familiar with watching Kevin LeBanc is Andrew Mangiapane. You know, 20 goals, 21 assists, 41 points. That was good for fourth on the team. You know, and this guy will kill you on the power play. 11 power play goals for Mangiapane. So that's the guy that they're going to really have to watch, especially on the power play. I like him a lot. But, you know, this is a guy that is obviously going to also be very familiar with Kevin LeBanc too. So I think that should be an interesting dynamic as well.
Yeah. And the Heat have some, you know, bona fide NHL talent on their roster.
Absolutely.
You know, Matt Fratton, played 54 games for them, 18 goals, 18 assists. Brandon Bolig, you know, say what you will about him at the NHL level. At the AHL level, he's, you know, he's carved in stone. He's a tough customer. He had 11 goals, 11 assists, led the team with 136 penalty minutes. So when the going gets tough, you know, he can drop them. He was the player that gave Coach Sommer a love tap on the head, and that really set off that fracas, on the – I think that was the April 8th game, if I remember correctly. That was the
first – I want to say yes.
Yeah. But, you know, hey, if you've got, you know, kind of a heavyweight puncher that can chip in with 22 points and play a tough, heavy game – that's good. And they also have Ryan Lomberg, who is another tough customer, 127 penalty minutes, had 29 points to go with it. So, and that's something that the Barracuda are going to have to address, is especially on those forward lines, the physicality that the Heat bring. And pretty much everyone I talked to today mentioned that's something that they've got to overcome and not fall into playing the Heat game and stick to San Jose Barracuda hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just trying to scan the chat here quick just to make sure I'm not missing anything.
You know what, too? When you look at the forward core for the Heat, there's a lot of guys who, you know, after being drafted kind of started out slow. But you know what? They have a handful of former first overall picks. I mean, you look at a Hunter Shinkarik who,
you know,
35 points in 52 games is not bad at all. Nope. You have You have Emile Poirier, who's kind of moving a little slower, but still contributed. Same thing with a Morgan Klimchuk. You know, these are guys who were all first overall picks who kind of got off to a slow start, and then they're sort of, you know, making baby steps, if you will, to kind of be an effective player. And same thing with Mark Jankowski. I mean, I don't want to say that I had him pegged as a non-factor, but he's not the guy I had expecting, or I had expected to lead the team. I thought for sure a guy like Shin Carrick would be stepping in at this point.
I completely agree.
And then, you know, Zach made a good point, too, about, you know, guys like Brandon Bolig and Ryan Lomberg. You know what? They have a good blend of physicality. You know, they're in your face. You know, if you want to dance, they'll dance with you. But you know what? They can chip in, too. And, you know, I just some quick math. Both of them are clipping at around a 0.3-ish points per game, which is not bad.
Nope.
Yeah, and Jerk brings up a name that I wanted to kind of touch back on, and that's Emile Poirier. He was a player that I actually had a pretty pretty high hopes for.
Me too. Yeah,
coming
I was
out
really
of,
high on Poirier.
Yeah, you know, coming, he was a 2013 first-round pick, 22nd overall. He hasn't put up a single point for the Heat since January 7th. Yikes. That was, he had a 3-point game, and his last game came on February 18th. And I asked the Heat folks the last time they were in town, I said, what's going on with Poirier? And I got a lot of shrugs. So I'm not entirely sure what's going on there. He doesn't seem to be a player for whatever reason that they're icing. I don't know if he's hurt or what's going on there. He has the skill. He's definitely one of their quicker skaters. So it'll be interesting that if he is healthy, if he goes for the Heat, but that's something to watch out for. That could be a quote unquote reinforcement for them if he's good to go.
Right. Yeah, you know what? I will tell you this too. Of those three first round picks they had in 2013, it was Monahan, Klimchuk, and Poirier. I'll be the first to say, you know, Poirier was the one who I was most kind of like, really? That's who you're taking? But at the same time, you know, if he can find his game, no doubt he'll almost be like the Heat's version of Adam Holuka, where he just comes out of nowhere and all of a sudden he's scoring goals like every other game.
And with the score this in game four right now being 2-0 Calgary, we should probably talk about players that might be in the lineup Friday night that we weren't expecting a week ago.
I think we've all kind of chatted about this. I'm not sure if they're able to send back Matt Tkachuk. They didn't do the paper transaction that we could find.
Not that I could find.
Right. Who knows what voodoo magic they've got, you know, capable, but the AHL is pretty good about reporting roster moves.
Right. Rasmus Anderson, though, was definitely on the roster. He was called up a few days later. So that would be a nice grab for the Stockton Heat for sure.
I think with a guy, and granted I could be wrong on this, but I think with a guy like Matt Tkachuk, I think because he was only drafted this past summer, I don't know if he's eligible for the AHL. I could be wrong, but I don't believe that he is.
Well, the London Knight, he came from the London Knights and they were bounced. So,
yeah, right. He probably could go. They could.
I don't know if he could
just get signed to an ATO right now. He has a contract.
I'm gonna let you finish. I know where you're going with this. Go for it.
Well, I was just gonna say, like, could the Flames, you know, like emergency loan him to the Heat?
Exactly. Or, because Jerk, yeah. I think Jerk just solved this for us, and I think Tkachuk could be down. They can't do the paper transaction for him to go to the AHL because he's part of the CHL transfer agreement.
Correct.
So, right. So they, now, I'm going to guess here that they can still loan him because you see CHLers all the time. You know, we saw it last year with Chartier and LeBanc. Mm-hmm. And even Gabriel Bourdeau, came for an ATO after the CHL season. Those were 20-year-olds, but I'm pretty sure that Matt Tkachuk, now that London is done, and if the Flames are done, he could be a player that comes down really quickly tilt the balance because he's been excellent.
Yeah, No doubt. And that's a fear I have, because but that would make sense why the transaction wasn't done, because I completely didn't even consider the CHL agreement when there was no thing. But yeah, I mean, so if Tkachuk comes down, obviously that could be a huge X factor. And getting, like I said, getting Rasmus Anderson back is nothing to scoff at either. That'll be a nice addition to that lineup.
No, absolutely. Especially, I just want to jump in real quick, especially when you consider that, you know, the Barracuda have made a lot of their money this season with their scoring from the blue line. Mm-hmm. And I think Rasmus Anderson will definitely help take some of the weight off of Kylington's shoulders. And I think that's going to be the difference in the series, is the scoring from the blue line, because I think the Barracuda definitely outmatched the Heat in that category.
Big time.
So before we jump into the defense, let's go with who our picks are for who has the edge on the forward groups. Ian, we'll start with you. Do you think the Barracuda or the Stockton Heat have the edge with the forward groups?
As of today, I think the Barracuda have the edge. If the Heat gets Matthew Tkachuk, that could change my opinion very drastically, very quickly. Even still, I think that, oh man, Tkachuk, he's so good. I still like what the Barracuda have.
Okay.
I think they're line to line, they're deeper.
All right. Hockey Jerk, how about you?
I agree 100% with Ian. I think that the Barracuda have the edge in the forward court. I think even if the Heat do get Matt Tkachuk, I still think it's the Barracuda. They've got three really solid centers in Chartier, O'Regan, and Carpenter. And I just don't think the Heat can match up against that very well.
All right. And then my pick, I'm actually going to go we're going to have a consensus here. I think that the Barracuda have the slightest of edges, mostly due to their strength down the middle. Mm-hmm. When you can roll out Danny O'Regan, Rourke Chartier, John McCarthy, and then still have very capable centers down below and a hardworking Tim Clifton and Nikita Jeff-Blaws, or slide Colin Blackwell back there, that could be four difficult lines. But the Heat have their own talent, and adding Tkachuk, which I think they will, now that we've kind of talked through that, I'm going to go Barracuda by a whisker.
Yeah, I think Tkachuk's a game changer for sure. But I do like the depth on the I do like right. the depth for the Barracuda. I think Tkachuk might be the best player on the ice at that point, but I still like the parts, the sum of the parts on the Barracuda better.
So moving on to the defense, Jerk, you were making some points on the defense. Why don't you lead us out on your thoughts between these two squads on the blue line?
Sure. Well, I mean, you don't need to be an expert to see that the Barracuda absolutely have the edge when it comes to scoring from the point. If you just look at the Heat's stats really quick, Oliver Kylington, 6 goals, 21 assists from the point. He was their highest scoring defenseman. Versus you jump over to the Barracuda and you look at the defenseman who had 27 points. That was or at least the closest to 27 points. It's either Bergman with 30, or you're looking at Mirko Mueller with 20, and they're behind Tim Heat and Joakim Ryan. And like I said earlier, you know, if you can get the power play going, you get Heat in the spot to shoot the puck, or even you get Ryan in a spot to shoot the puck, I think it's going to be all the difference. And the fact that the Heat's best scoring defenseman would be fourth on the Barracuda, I think, goes to show you just how tilted the edge actually is.
Mm-hmm. Ian?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Stockton Heat. I mean, they can move the puck around from the blue line, but they don't really shoot it very well from the blue line. They're not really as big of a, you know, they don't have that Tim Heat threat that's going to just blasted in from the point. So yeah, I mean, you have to like the Barracuda's defense. I think, again, it's deeper, but you know, again, but you know, it's not like they don't have they have some good players down there too, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But I feel like they're a little top heavy on defense, and I'm not really all that crazy about their bottom pairing.
Yeah, with the Heat, I see, you know, Shillington, and I could be pronouncing it wrong. I've heard it a number of ways with Oliver. I've also seen it written Oscar Shillington, so who knows. But, the Heat have their own Swedish pairing in Rasmus Andersson and Oliver Shillington. I don't think that, you know, they're both still very young. Shillington was the youngest player in the AHL last year. They brought him straight over after drafting him. Rasmus Andersson was another member of the Barrie Colts, if I remember correctly, and he's had a very strong rookie season adjusting to the pro game. So between Tim Heat and Joakim Ryan, two Swedes, the Heat counter with Shillington and Andersson, two Swedes, different players, but that's something that the Heat have. One player that I think is going to be a player that is going to make a difference for the Heat is Brent Kulak, who I think is a capable NHLer as he sits right now. He had 10 points in 22 games. He was a frequent call-up to the Flames. Him playing for the Heat, I think that could be, again, is kind of the theme we're using, the reinforcements.
Yeah. So
he missed really two-thirds of the season, but if you add him for a series, he's an excellent defender that has some offensive upside, good first pass, steady player. I think that could be a player that the Heat really lean heavily on against Danny O'Regan's line. I think he would suit up well there. Tyler Witherspoon has, he had 18 points. He's had a bit of a up and down go of it as Kenny Morrison. I've seen games where I thought they've been very good and games where they really weren't. But right here, you know, kind of what you gentlemen were speaking of, it's so hard to overstate the importance of Joakim Ryan and Team Heat for the Barracuda.
Right. I mean, the thing with the Barracuda, I think that's, you know, it's their advantage, but it's also, I think it's partially their curse too, because I think when you look at how much of the offense goes through Danny O'Regan and Tim Heat, if you can shut them down, I'm concerned if those guys got somehow shut down by the Heat, which they have to some degree over those 12 games, that could change a lot, because you're going to get a lot more offense. I feel like more offense by committee on the Flames than the Barracuda kind of run their offense through two guys.
Yeah. I think Joakim Ryan also, you know, he's been a player that all of us have really enjoyed watching this year, seeing his growth, especially defensively. He's really turned himself into, I think, a two-way modern defender that could be in the NHL next year, but he's going to have his hands full. He's not the biggest guy, skates well, but not fast. So really that's going to probably be the player that counters the Jankowski line and his partner Heat. So it'll be interesting to see how well their defense holds up while still creating offense. They haven't had any problem doing that all year, but it's going to be something to watch. Also, we've all kind of shared our concerns at times about the Mueller and Bergman pairing. What do you guys think they're going to have to do in this series?
Not be painfully predictable. Because that's really the only – that's like my only big beef with Bergman at this point. I feel like Mueller's a little worse with it because he also has like – I feel like Bergman doesn't really have the same problems with confidence that Mirko has, but they're both very predictable. You know pretty much what they're going to do when they get the puck, and I think that can be obviously exploited. But I, you know, overall, I still like that pairing. I don't hate it. You know, I've been really, really high on Bergman this year, but I, you know, if I'm going to be objective, he can be somewhat predictable, as is Mirko Mueller. So I think that's an issue for sure.
Yeah, agreed 100%. And, you know, like you said, they're not an awful pair by any stretch. There are numerous games where, you know, you've gotten a goal from Bergman and it's been the difference, or you've gotten a goal from Mueller and it's been an insurance goal. So they've definitely had some good games, but, you know, as you've alluded to, they're very predictable. And, you know, I can give you the Mirko Mueller special right now. He gets the puck, goes behind the net, looks right, looks left, looks right again, and flings it around. And I'd say about 40% of the time Bergman picks it up.
Right.
So I think the key for that pair, if they do want to provide some secondary scoring and just in general not be a disaster, is just, you know, simplify the game. Like, if you can't make a stretch pass for a breakaway, don't.
Right.
Just, you know, get it out of the zone, take it zone by zone, you know, get to the neutral zone. Okay, here we are. Get it to the offensive zone. Okay, here we are. Just take it slow. And I mean, the Barracuda, yes, they're a good team, one of the best teams in the AHL, but you know what? It's the AHL, still a learning curve, and absolutely, these kind of things take time.
Yeah. I think the thing that I would really want to see out of those, that pairing specifically, is really commit to a north-south game.
Yeah.
Kind of as Jerk mentioned, you could almost pre-announce the plays for that pairing. I mean, you know, Ian mentioned it's painfully predictable at times. I think if those two just committed to a north-south game, they're both good skaters. They've got a good first pass. It's just got to stop being east-west.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because they're talented guys. Like, look at you know, they're one's a first-round pick, the other's a second-round pick. It's not like these guys weren't, you know, it's not like these guys are late-round picks that are surprising. Like, these guys are, you know, they have a pedigree behind them. You know, Bergman, you know, we've said this 100 times. Bergman's come out of, you know, he came out of one of the best probably the best junior team in the entire country out of London. You know, who just churns out player after player after player. So I mean, you hope to see more from Bergman going forward, and obviously more from Mueller being a first round pick, but yeah, I mean, they just gotta figure it out. And I agree. If I'm Sommer, I want them to play north-south rather than east-west.
Yeah, and that's the thing too that, you know, frustrates me at times when they do start to get trapped into that east-west game is, you know, last year I would have no confidence, or I would have no issue saying it, and this year I really have no issue saying it. I honestly think Mirko Mueller is the best skating defenseman on the Barracuda, and the fact that half the time he's not using that skill, I think it's a crime. And I think it's something, if he does want to graduate to the NHL level, I think he does need kind of remember that he is a talented skater and, you know, used it a little better, or a little more, I should say.
And then real quick on the Barracuda's final pairing, and even that might not be quite fair. Roy Sommers has used 7 defenders, probably half the season. Interesting thing I noted today was Nick DeSimone and Jacob Middleton were taking a lot of reps together. And I think that could be a really interesting final pairing where you have the offensive DeSimone paired up with the very capable Jacob Middleton, who has made immense strides this season. And then you still have veteran Dan Kelly back there and Patrick McNally, who's since 2017, you know, we kicked over to that calendar, has played much better. So a lot of options for that bottom 2 or 3 slots, according to whatever Sommer rolls out.
Right. No, and that's the thing, too. Like, you look at, like, DeSimone, I've really liked from the times that I've got to see him. And, you know, this is a guy that you could use on, the second power play unit. So maybe he's playing third pair, but you could get him minutes other places. And be very effective, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you get past the top 4. You know, I like you said, Zach, Middleton this year has taken a lot of steps. I like how he moves the puck. I like how he breaks it out of the zone. Big fan of that. And, you know, DeSimone's still relatively new to the whole equation, but, you know, in the small sample size, he's been decent. And then, you know, you have McNally, who I feel like is making it a trend where the first half of the year he's kind of meh, and then the second half it's like, oh man, I forgot we have this guy. And then, of course, who could forget my good buddy Discount Roman Polak, wearing the A and just leading the charge. You know what? It's a pretty solid decor. I think, you know, if a guy goes down, you know, knock on wood that they don't, I think the Barracuda's defense is in good hands.
All right. So who do we have with the edge here in the defensive matchups here? Ian?
Oh, the Barracuda, it's not even close.
Sure.
The Barracuda, because we've seen it many times this year, and I'm sure we'll see it again. The Barracuda's defense can win you a game alone.
Yep.
Because of how much they score.
Definitely. And we're going to make it once again 3 for 3. This is sounding more and more like an absolute homer show, but the depth of the Barracuda, you know, it's defense by committee with the Heat, and they've got a completely capable squad over there that can play a top six as solidly as just about anyone. But the offense that the Barracuda defense brings, and really the depth with, you know, those four players all clamoring for the last three or four slots, I think that's just too much for any team. It's probably the best blue line in the entire AHL.
It is, in my opinion, it absolutely is, and that's the thing for me. It's you know, if you take out the top pair for the Barracuda and you just look at depth alone, like I think depth wise it's a wash, but the top pair is so far superior to the top pair for the Heat, and it's just, you know, you put Shillington and Rasmus Anderson, and I take Joachim Ryan and Tim Heat every day.
Right. All right.
Every single day.
So moving on to goaltending. I got a feeling this one might be, we might be setting a trend here, gentlemen. really tough, you know, for the Barracuda, you come out with the AHL goalie of the year in Troy Grosnick. It's just tough, you know, to really come back to, you know, from that. He's been first or second all season long in goals against or save percentage, led the league in shutouts.
Right.
The problem for me with Grosnick is it starts and stops with him. If a groin goes pop or something happens, it gets very, very scary. I think Troy Grosnick, you know, the resurgent year that he's had, it's tough to overstate what he's meant to this team, and there's been games where he's been the best player and allowed a bit of a fun and gun system. But after Grosnick, I mean, what would happen?
Bad. Well, it's bad.
It's either the model or the bumblebee.
That's true. Yeah. You'd have to choose your poison there. Troy Grosnick obviously is the guy. But I think that if you look at you look at the Heat's goaltending, Rittich is pretty good. And then you also, Gillies. It's obviously compared to Grosnick, I don't think either of them stand up, but as a unit, there's not really much drop off there in my opinion.
I would have to agree. You know, David Rittich has been solid. You know, came over from the Czech Republic. He had a .227 goals against average, .924 save percentage. Mm-hmm. You know, he's 5 shutouts in just 31 games. He's been very, very good. John Gillies, I'm a huge fan of, dating back to before he even headed to Providence. But I spoke to him in January, and even then, he was still kind of going through the hip surgeries that he had,
right?
That cost him his initial rookie year. He only played 6 games and then went under the knife. He's at a .910, and he's actually currently up with the Flames.
He might be in net right now, or who's in net right now? He might be in net right now because
they pulled Brian Elliott, right?
Yeah,
after one goal.
Yes.
Jeez.
So he might actually be in net right now. for the Flames. I don't know. Someone have to look that up for me. But
Vince had a good point. He would have said Kuda hands down if they had signed Gahagan to a PTO. I haven't seen Gahagan around the team anymore. I can't get an answer. I'm still working on that. You know, he was in the building. I talked to him after a game in April, and he was with the squad. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but that's a good point. You know, they had a real interesting young man in San Jose who doesn't appear to be here anymore. So I will continue to try to figure out what's going on there.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, so you look at the, so you look at the way things are there, and, you know, like, again, I think Grosnick is the better goalie. I put Grosnick up against either one. If we have to go to a backup goalie, you know, I don't even know who you go to. Like, it's, there's no clear cut. This is the guy you go to between Teal Steel and the Bumblebee. Maybe I might give, no, I don't even, you know what? I can't even give our mouse the slight edge. Probably not. Because he was just so bad his last couple of games. But, you know, Armalis is a guy that's come in, and, you know, Armalis is actually, like, I've never really been impressed. I keep flubbing on the Bumblebee's name. Help me out here.
Clark Saunders.
Thank you, Clark Saunders. You know, Armalis has come in some games, and he's been really good for the Barracuda at some point, where I've never really seen anything from Saunders that I've liked. So maybe I give Armalis the slight edge over Saunders, but it's not by much.
That's kind of what I was going to say, too, is, you know, they've both, Saunders and Armalis have both been kind of, but I think you have to give a very, very, very minuscule edge to Armalis solely because there have been some games where he's looked pretty damn good, and I think if anything, you cross your fingers that it's that Mantas Armalis who shows up. Correct. And not the one who slide across his crease without lifting up his leg to save his life.
Or save the puck.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like, cause like, you know, it's funny with Armalis. Like, I find like Armalis when he comes in when he comes in relief, I find he's a lot better than when he starts a game, which is really weird for a goalie. Like, I found, like, Armalis has come in a couple of times for Grosnick and really saved the bacon for the team. And then there's other times where he starts and it's like, you know, a less good Antti Niemi who just gives, you know, just lets in these deflating goals and takes the team out of it so quickly. It's a weird dynamic with Armalis.
Yeah, I view Armalis like a battle goalie. You know, he had a 12-5-4 record. Yeah. You know, he did get the wins. The save percentage, yeah, the save percentage at 885, you just can't excuse at the professional level.
Right.
I mean, if you're playing Division One in Norway, you better have better than an 885 save percentage.
Yeah.
And you know what? Something else, too, that I want to bring up. Vince G in the chat says that, you know, the Bumblebee plays really aggressive but doesn't have the rebound control to complement it. Agree 100%. That's exactly what I saw in the two games that I've seen Saunders start. He, you know, he'll come out and challenge and he'll make that first save, but then the rebound goes like 5 feet. Yeah, 5 feet to his right, and whoever's there just buries it on an open cage.
Yeah, I think if you put them both together, like in a, just put them in a blender and blend them all together, you'd get Antti Niemi.
I don't think that's fair to say. Well, okay, that brings up an interesting question then. If you put Saunders in the blender, is mm-hmm. this hybrid goalie better than Gillies or Rittich?
Ooh. I don't think so. I really
I still think you have the poor man's Antti Niemi.
Yeah. I think John Gillies, you know, with coming back from hip surgery as a goaltender, and everything that comes in with that and the adjustment, I would still give him the edge. He's got the pedigree. There's no reason to think that John Gillies is not probably the top goaltending prospect in the Flames pipeline. So I would probably still go.
Yeah.
Probably absolutely. Still go Gillies. All right. So how do we have this shaking out, guys? Barracuda or Stockton? Jerk, we'll start with you.
Barracuda, solely because Troy Grosnick, time and time again, has put the entire team on his shoulders. If he goes down, I say at best it's even.
All right, Ian.
I think it's Barracuda in four. Gotcha. I think that the Heat. They're not going to roll over the Heat. I don't think. But I think that they should be able to. I think four is a reasonable amount of games. I don't think it's a fiver.
And then with the goaltending, I'm actually going to give the edge to Stockton. I think that they've got Rittich, who has been excellent for them, but yes, they can back that up with John Gillies. And so we're looking at, you know, the forward lines, you know, all together. We're looking at the defense all together. So I'm, excuse me, I'm really going to look at this as a unit and as a battery. And if it does come down to having to put in a backup or you know, looking at the team as a whole, I think Stockton, even with Grosnick's, award-winning and completely deserving season, it's that the players behind him, I don't think can step up to where I think John Gillies or David Rittich can. And for the Heat, it'll be interesting who they even start. You know, John Gillies right. is generally seen as their goalie of the future. David Rittich has had better numbers. Do you give who you see as your future contender for starter with in Calgary the experience and just say, well, if he completely falters, we've got, you know, probably one of the better plan Bs, you know, available in the AHL.
In the AHL period, yeah. No, you know what? That's completely fair. I mean, I think that, yeah, I mean, the again, you know, it's like I kind of said, you know, for the Barracuda, where like the sum is, you know, the sum of the parts is greater than, and I think you're right. Like, I think for the Heat, they do have a better battery to fall back on.
Okay. We're just about at an hour. Real quick, do we want to just give our edges on special teams?
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah, why not? I like the Barracuda special teams. The penalty kill has been, you know, the penalty kill and power play has been good for the Barracuda all year, whereas the penalty kill for the Stockton Heat isn't good. It hasn't been good. And, you know, and again, like I said earlier, these are a lot of their big guns are the guys that serve a lot of the penalty minutes.
I agree with Ian. I think that the strength of the Barracuda power play, along with the top 10 penalty kill, is just too much to bridge there. I don't think that that the Heat are a team that you can completely discount. You know, they've got a lot of weapons on the power play. Their penalty kill has been just outside that top 10. But I mean, a power play that nearly one out of four times puts the puck in, you know, in the back of the net against a team that takes as many penalties as the Heat do, that's got to be concerning for Huska over there when Stockton.
We should rapid fire Kevin now.
So when you guys said 7 o'clock, you meant 7 o'clock, whatever the time zone behind the Pacific time zone is, right?
What?
Thanks for having me on the show. Sorry, I'm an hour late.
Welcome. We're just talking about special teams right now. Where do you put the special teams, Kev? Like, who do you give the advantage to?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about Stockton's special teams at the moment, but
the numbers.
Yeah, but I know that the Barracuda's penalty kill was trending downward towards that last 6 weeks of the season, so that has me a little concerned, although they're still among the best in the league. But I hope that's just a personnel issue, you know, a lack of personnel issue, so to speak, then.
Yeah, Sorensen added a lot to the penalty kill there, and I think right. that's especially where the Barracuda were missing him. As well as his speed, his offense, play on the wing. You know, Sorensen's a player they miss quite a bit, actually, now that we start talking about it.
Absolutely. Jerk, I guess you should probably go on the special teams.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even really consider it until Kevin brought it up, but I have noticed that the Barracuda's penalty kill has kind of dropped off in the last little while. They're still really well shorthanded, so I don't think that's going to be a problem for them. And then the power play, you know what? Obviously, Tim Heat and Joachim Ryan, you know, they drive the bus. That is the power play. But even then, they have so many incompetent forwards that they can throw out there. I mean, O'Regan, Goodrow, Carpenter, whoever, and even that doesn't work. Hey, how about an Adam Haluka and a Buddy Robinson? Yeah. And now they're getting LeBanc back, and it's just way too much offensive firepower to keep up with, let alone at 5-5, but also on the power play as well.
Right.
Worth pointing out that the Stockton Heat were second overall in the entire AHL in penalty minutes with 1,235 minutes.
Jesus.
Ouch. Yikes.
But you know what? That's like, I believe it was Zach who said, and, you know, it's kind of jumps on a point that I kind of brought up earlier, you know, Lomberg and who is it?
Bolig.
I don't remember. Bolig, yeah, you know what? Yeah, they provide some quality scoring for the Heat, but they also take a lot of penalties. And so if you're missing out on guys that you rely on for goals because they're constantly in the box, you're definitely going to run into issues that way as well.
Yeah. Even Andrew Mangiapane, I mean, he had 64 penalty minutes.
Right.
That's something. He's your number four scorer. He was second in the team in goals. If he's averaging a penalty minute a game, that's got to be a little bit concerning, right?
I would think so.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the numbers right now. Stockton is third worst among the teams that made the playoffs in the league on the power play. So combining the fact that they're going to spend a lot of time on the penalty kill with a relatively inept power play, the Barracuda have to win that special teams battle for, you know, if they don't, that's going to be a sign of a big time struggle against the Heat.
Then we'll come on and tell them to fire everyone.
Yeah. Gee, I've never heard that about any Sharks organizational special team.
Can we fire Steve Spott for that too?
Really?
I'm kidding. Come on. Kev, well, I'm just gonna rapid fire a couple things at you just to kind of recap where we're at.
I should probably also mention for those of you, if you're listening on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, etc., I am Kevin Lacey. Nice to join y'all.
We introduced you at the beginning of the show.
We did.
An hour and 4 minutes ago.
I'm just going to kind of catch you with a couple of spots here that we kind of already covered just to get you on board here. For the goaltending, where do you give the edge? Do you give the edge to the Barracuda or the Stockton Heat?
I actually give it to the Stockton Heat. I'm assuming that Gillies and Rittich are both on the Heat roster. I'm going to give it to them because as Grosnick has been fantastic. He was the goaltender of the year in the American Hockey League, but he's still an AHL goalie. He still has some lapses in his game. So if he struggles, they have nobody else to go to. The Barracuda have nobody else to go to. Whereas if Gillies struggles, boop, there goes Rittich right in there. They have a pretty seamless 1-2 tandem there. So I will actually give the goaltending to Stockton.
Ooh, we have a tie on the goaltending. Defense, where do you put the defense between the Barracuda and the Stockton Heat?
It's pretty amazing because the, going into the season, the one thing that we felt was the biggest worry for the Barracuda was defense, and right. I have to give it to the Barracuda, not just in this matchup, but just overall, like, what a season that defensive core has had on both ends of the ice. I mean, I know that Zach has mentioned a lot about Jacob Middleton stepping his game up and increasing his stock throughout the season. He's been the big surprise to me. A shutdown D, but he can jump up in the rush. Joakim Ryan, Tim Heed, of course. We've raved about them all year. It really comes down to the depth. I guess you would now call them the third pair of Mueller and Bergman, the way things are going. if Stockton has Rasmus Anderson, that could be a little bit of a difference, but still depth wise, they've got Anderson, Heat have Anderson, Shillington, Wotherspoon, and then it's been kind of plug and play guys after that. So I think the Barracuda have the defensive end for sure there.
And the last thing that we started was on one forward, with keeping in mind that the reason that we discovered why Tkachuk was not put on the paper transaction.
Wait, what happened? What happened?
Well, because you know how at March 1st, the trade deadline,
clear day,
you have to put you have to do at least a paper transaction to send your guys down to be eligible.
Correct.
Now, Tkachuk wouldn't have to do that because he couldn't be sent to the AHL because of the CHL agreement because of his age, which means that he could be loaned there if the Flames bow out tonight, which they are on their way to doing, down to Anaheim by a score of 2-0. So with the possibility of Matthew Tkachuk being on the Stockton Heat for the playoff run, where do you put the offense?
That's really peculiar. That definitely can be a difference maker. I'm going to give it to the Barracuda still, because you guys have already mentioned Kevin LeBanc being sent down. I don't know if I'd put him in the same class as Matthew Tkachuk, but yeah, but I mean, there are guys who could be playing on the Heat right now who are going to be scratched for the Barracuda. So yeah. I think overall, the Barracuda from top to bottom, they can wear down a top line, for example, of Tkachuk, Jankowski, and if Lyndon Vay or Mangiapane or Shinkarik are up there. I think depth-wise, the Barracuda haven't made at the forward position. So I don't see Tkachuk being... that he can be an X factor, but he can be one of those factors that it still doesn't matter in this case to me.
All right, Zach, I hand over the reins back to you.
So we're finally at the predictions portion of our programming. So we're going to start it. We're going to just go right back to We Are All Kevin. Kevin, what is your prediction for the Stockton Heat and the San Jose Barracuda in round one of the AHL playoffs?
Believe it or not, I'm going with the Barracuda in five.
Wow.
I actually think that every time I've seen the Barracuda play Stockton this season, they've done all right, but yeah, they've let Stockton hang around. And I don't know why, but I just feel like that the series is going to dictate how the regular season was. And so the Barracuda are going to, probably dominate the first four games and yet still come out with a 2-2 split. And then they'll get it together in game five and win.
All right. Ian.
I'm going the Barracuda in four. Kevin makes a great argument for five, but I just feel like, it's playoffs, and I think that the Barracuda are going to come out and they're going to want to take care of business early, because finishing your early rounds early is the key to longevity in the long term.
Hockey Drew?
I'm going to say the Barracuda in four. I think, Kevin, Heat have kind of stuck around in games that they've lost against the Barracuda, so I honestly think Heat will steal one of the two games in San Jose, but I think the Barracuda are going to be like, no, F that, we're better, and then they're just going to there.
So I'm going to slide in with Kevin here, and I think it's going to be the Barracuda in five. I think that once playoff hockey starts, and it'll be interesting to see how it's officiated. We've all seen the NHL postseason officiating handbook completely get shredded, spat upon, and then burned and killed with fire. So I'm really not too sure what the heck to expect from the AHL referees. I'm guessing it's like something they all chat about during their little referee dinners. So I'm going to go Barracuda in five. I think they're going to have a tough time with the physicality and the size that the Heat offer, but I think that overall skill beats size in this matchup, and it'll go Barracuda in five.
I like it.
All right.
I like it a lot.
Anyone have any closing thoughts?
No. Barracuda win.
Not so much of a closing thought, but more of a kind of an inside joke observation between Ian and I. But if you look at the panel, we have all the members of the Barracuda NWO here.
That's true. We do. This is awesome.
Wow.
My goal is to have some combination of us after every Barracuda game. So I looked at the schedule. Schedule looks solid for edumacation. And so I'm hoping that we're going to have some combination of us do a show. I'm not saying it's going to be all four of us every time. I'm saying, you know, who knows? But we're going to try. So yay us. What? Sorry. Oh, I missed a question. Is it no concern with the first game back issue? I don't think so. I think that, like Zach said earlier, I feel like having the time off probably works to their advantage because they can shake off those last games and can be completely out of their mind, and it's like a new clean slate.
Yeah. And the other thing, especially with the Pacific Division teams in the AHL, a lot of times you'll have that long layoff and the other team might have got a Wednesday or a Tuesday game in there, and that's really where the discrepancy comes out as far as who's a little bit sharper, you know, in that opening frame.
That's a great point.
So I think that the both teams being forced for the long layoff, you know, kind of puts that on an even keel.
Yeah, I agree.
Christine, not quite a week. They got 6 days. The 15th was the final day of the AHL regular season, and then the playoffs start on the 21st.
And there you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so look forward to more of this shenanigans while the AHL playoffs continue.
Are we doing any around the league kind of stuff, or are we sticking to Bear?
Do you want to? Do you have anything you want to talk about? Because we're here. I mean,
well, I really only have one thing to talk about. I thought we could just randomly throw out guesses on the
on the. Well, you want to do the rest of the playoffs?
Well, I'm looking at it. Wilkes-Barre-Scranton should win 3-0. Hershey Bears, I'm looking at Hershey playing Lehigh Valley, and it's interesting because Hershey played Cleveland in the Calder Cup Finals last year, and they both nearly both being out of the playoffs this year. Cleveland, the reigning champs, missed it, and Hershey barely got in. Let's see. I'm still going to give to Hershey, though. I'll give them in five. I don't like Syracuse or St. John's. Skip.
Skip. You can't make us do a segment and then skip a series, man.
This is true.
I'm taking the Syracuse crunch there. I think they're going to take care of the Ice Caps.
Okay. I'll give Syracuse in four. Toronto's been trending up big time. They struggled the first half, so I'm going to give Toronto over Albany in four. And I want to note on the Eastern Conference that the North Division, is it the North Division? They got hosed. Who was it? It was the Atlantic Division. Bridgeport got hosed so hard by the AHL playoff format this year. They had the fifth best record in the entire Eastern Conference, and they didn't make the playoffs because they were also the fifth place team in the Atlantic Division. They were better than the entire North, and they didn't make the playoffs. That's just sad. So then we got Charlotte. Charlotte, another team that came out of nowhere. They got former Stockton Heat legend Tom McCollum, who played all of what, 12 minutes for the Heat over the first 5 months of the season before they loaned him to Charlotte. And all he did was be the AHL's goaltender of the month for March and basically single-handedly got the team into the playoffs. But Chicago's got the MVP, Kenny Agostino, and I'll give Chicago a sweep. Let's see. Grand Rapids will beat Milwaukee in 4, and San Diego and Ontario will fall off into the Pacific Ocean. Okay, goals in 4.
So for my picks real quick, I'm sure. Going to go through them. I really like the Penguins over the Bruins. I think that's going to be a quick one. Me too. I think Hershey and Lehigh Valley, I think that's going to be a tighter series than a lot are expecting. I think the Bears have a lot of good pieces. Phoenix Copley came back to the organization. I think that's going to probably go the distance, and I like the Bears there. Syracuse Crunch, I like them over the St. John Ice Caps. Marlies have been – it's been the tale of two seasons.
Yeah.
Albany's got some really solid goaltending, though. They've got some really solid goaltending. I'll take Albany. I think that's going to be another close series. I really like the Checkers. They've got a number of young players coming in, but Chicago will be just far too much for them. Same with Grand Rapids. They're going to just, I think, really take care of the Admirals. And I think it's going to be the goals all over Ontario. I think outside of the baby Penguins, I think this could be one of the ugliest series. The goals just have a lot of pieces. It's interesting to note, though, that they don't have Montour and they don't have Shea Theodore. So that's going to open it up a little bit, but I just think the goals have too much. I'm not a fan of the rain this year. I think San Diego takes it.
Yeah, I guess I'll go through quick. And you know what? Honestly, like, I'm just throwing darts in the East because I really, you know, I pay attention to the Barracuda and
I
not
threw,
much.
I threw
else.
Darts, and Zach and I agreed on 7 of the 8, so that works.
Yeah, there you go. look, I Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Penguins, baby Penguins have been, you know, they've been really good. They've been neck and neck with the Barracuda all year. Finished just ahead of them in the standings. That's, you know, it's a really good team. They're going to make pasty work of the Providence Bruins. Lehigh versus the Phantoms versus the Hershey Bears. You know what? I guess the Bears, I like their logo better.
Their logo is fantastic.
Yeah, classic. Classic.
I'm going to go with the Crunch over the Ice Caps. I'm not really a big fan of the pieces on the Ice Caps. I'm not a fan. I like the Marlies over the Devils. I like the Marlies really have come on, and that's obviously a team I am familiar with. Chicago is going to destroy the Checkers. It's sad and it's going to be bad. I like the top seeded teams in the West. The Griffins are a team that I think, you know, I feel like the Griffins are going to be the team that's going to be waiting for whoever comes out of the Pacific. So I really like the Griffins. Obviously, Barracuda over the Heat. And San Diego, you know, again, I feel like San Diego versus, you know, not to look too far ahead, but if San Diego and the Barracuda play next round, I think that might be one of the tougher pushes that the Barracuda are going to get. That's going to be a really tough series. So, I like the goals in that series. Hockey Jerk.
So for me, obviously Barracuda over the Heat. We've established that. San Diego, I think, is going to handle Ontario no problem. I think we're going to see the Griffins over the Admirals, just because the Griffins they've been a pretty good all year, at least in my very limited viewings of them. I think we're going to see Chicago over Charlotte. Syracuse is going to take down Albany. We're going to see Toronto take down St. John. I would say Providence Lehigh Valley is probably going to be the most even one, but I'm going to give that one to Lehigh Valley. And then
got it all mixed up.
And then I think the Baby Penguins are going to take down the Bears.
All right.
You mean the Bruins, but they're still
Bears. Sorry,
but they're still Bears.
Yes, the Bruins.
All right. Take us home, Zach.
So just wanted to thank everyone for checking out our YouTube show. You can make sure you're following TL Town USA on Twitter and also TTG Reborn on Twitter. Let's kick it. We're going to just pile on Kevin here. Kevin, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can find me on TL Town USA After Dark.
That is a quarter in the Pucknology jar, mister.
I said Puck, like I was watching. Never mind.
No.
You can find me that every now and then on that vodcast. Please check it out and subscribe. You can also find me in San Diego attempting to make it to a goals game this weekend. But of course, just like the NHL schedule, I got hosed by the AHL schedule too. So apparently I'm just destined to not go to any hockey playoff games this year.
Wah, 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 wah.
But hey, we picked the Barracuda to win, so you'll see me at SAP Center in round two, folks. I'm Kevin Lacey.
Jerk.
You can follow me on Twitter at @hockey_jerk. Normally, I'm on the Pucknologist podcast, but we have completed the regular season, so we are not recording until the series between the Oilers and the Sharks is completed, whenever that will be. Six games, seven games, who knows? And then, hopefully in the future, if I haven't sullied the image, I would like to be back here someday. wink, wink, fingers crossed. But, yeah. Back to you, Zach.
And Ian.
You can follow me at Ian Blogs Hockey. I write and do this wonderful show that you're watching right now. I also write on tealtownusa.com, so be sure to check out my writing there. I'm going to try and get something out tomorrow. I just got jammed up today, so I couldn't write today. But definitely look out for that. Obviously, you know, on behalf of all the other Teal Town USA stuff, Teal Town After Dark after every San Jose Sharks game. So tomorrow there will be the game. I know they're having the watch party. I'm not local, so I don't care. I mean, I care, but I don't have the details ingrained in my brain. But look at their Twitter and you'll find it. You know, follow the show on Twitter. Follow Teal Town USA on Twitter, you know, obviously. All the cool things we do. And just remember, likes are awesome, but retweets are divine.
And I'm Zach Devine. So nice segue there, Ian. Look at just dropping that right in there. You can follow me on Twitter at Zach the Bear, ZakkTheBear. Or for our Canadian listeners, ZakkTheBear. Write for the Hockey Prophets, thehockeywriters.com, and Dauber Prospects. And I'm completely behind on my Barracuda and LA Kings prospect updates all across the old interwebs. I'm going to bury myself here in the next couple of days. And so look for that. And remember to subscribe to the channel right down there. So absolutely. If you see below my face made for radio right there, it's either that way or that way, or I don't know. But make sure you're subscribed to the Teal Tinted Glasses, Teal Town USA channel. You'll be able to find us wherever your favorite podcasts are found. Google, iCloud, Stitcher. I said iCloud. iTunes.
iTunes, whatever. iTunes.
Don't forget my iCloud.
Space, all that fun stuff. iCloud is where all my articles are. That's how I'm already thinking about where I got to get back to. But make sure you subscribe there as well. And thank you so much, everyone, for watching. And as Ian said, we'll be trying to get back here with as many members of the Barracuda NWO as possible and give you some post-playoff Barracuda After Dark.
Yes.
So thank you, everyone, for watching, and we will see you on Friday.
Good night. And Vladimir Savoca signed.
Yay! Oh, I have the button.